Hello and welcome to Auto Nerd. My name's Andrew. I'm here to help you sell more cars, make more money, and be more successful at what you do daily. All right, so last week we talked about positivity and its effect of creating an incredible experience for the customer when they are at the dealership. Let's talk about the other side of this coin. Now, if you have not sold cars before, or you haven't been on a showroom floor working physically at the dealership, this is going to be a great podcast for you to just get inside the inner workings of a car sales consultant's brain. Because when we look at how our behavior is when we are selling cars, the stress can be insurmountable. Now, what I mean is when it comes down to our livelihood, we try and we try and we try as we may to go ahead and get what we need financially to be successful in our lives. Now, for anybody that might be listening to this that might roll their eyes when I mention, well, make more money and be more prosperous in your life financially and things along that nature, I want you to understand something. Is that the rest of the world, outside of maybe your bubble, is built on making an income. Yes, money, it's about the most impersonal thing that could be around. But the thing is that in the car business, we're out for making money. There's no second if, ands, or buts about that. It comes down to A, number one, the coin, and then B, number two, everything else. The smart people in this industry have figured out pretty quickly, though, that if you can make the customer have an enjoyable experience, the money naturally comes along. Because people are walking into the dealerships today already prepared to buy, right? We have the highest closing ratios of any time in the existence in the automotive world currently. And this is because of the amount of information that is freely available online for somebody to pick up and be able to instantly use, right? I mean, there's information out there on not only the type of vehicle that you want to buy, but exactly on how to buy a car. And I've talked about this previously. But one of the things that I haven't spoken about much is the happiness of the consultant. And when I first got into training, when I first applied for a position to become a trainer, I was asked, why do you want to become a trainer? And I looked at the person and I said, well, you know what? Because I want to help people. And, you know, I love selling vehicles, but really my passion in life is to assist and help other people become better at what they do. And so the person looked at me and said, well, you can't be a very good car salesperson if you want to get into training. And I said, my life isn't driven by money per se. My life is driven by assisting others and becoming better. So anyways, I ended up going and getting that job and then moving on to another training gig later on in life. And I was asked by a very similar individual, this person owned the company, and they said, what is your mantra? Why training? And I looked at them and I said, why do you own this company and ask me questions like that? And they said, my goal when setting up this company, and I have since taken this as my definition of what I do because it was so good and it just clicked so well with me. They said that my reasoning for setting up this company to go ahead and train sales consultants is because I want to keep the sales consultants off the dollar menu. Now, for any of you that are old enough to remember the dollar menu, sadly, it's no longer around. I mean, yes, I used to love pulling on up to like your McDonald's or Burger King with 10 bucks and going, I want 10 burgers. Man, the fry cook, I could just imagine the worst day ever for them. But thing was, is that those days don't exist, but I still use that as a core mantra for myself is my job is to make sure every car sales consultant that I interact with has the tools when they leave my presence to stay off of that dollar menu, right? To be able to take your family to higher places, higher planes of existence, if you want to call it that, in your life, right? Be able to move out of the neighborhood or the apartment building that you're in and actually buy a house, even in the economy today. But there's something that holds a lot of sales consultants back, and it's something that I want you all to know if you are selling cars, you can break this cycle very easily. Now, for those of us that are flat pay, right? And I know that there's a lot of sales consultants out there that are flat pay. I'm going to be talking commission a lot here. And the reason being is that when it comes down to flat pay, every dealership has the ability to select the pay structure that they would like to have at their store. I was commission, and you'll find a lot of people when they bump into commission-based sales consultants will typically go ahead and say, hey, listen, when it comes down to making money, you're going to make more on commission. Straight up, unless you're the ownership of your dealership has one heck of a stair-step plan when it comes to your bonus structures. So the reason that I bring up this particular topic of the car salesperson happiness is because 1 month you will be crushing it, absolutely knocking them dead. Customers coming in and you are on your way to 30, 40, 50 marks on the board. And for anybody out there that's like, well, those boards need to go away because they don't do anything. Oh no, they do. They do. They motivate. They motivate in a big way because nobody wants to lose. You do not want to look at your brothers and sisters on the showroom floor because we are all family and look at each other and go, yeah, I'm the last one on the bottom. You don't want to do that. Those boards, to get another counter on the board is for some people, is just absolutely their winning accomplishment of the month, right? Even if you're having a hard month and you're just like, I can't get past five cars. What the heck is going on? I'm going to tell you what's going on here in just a second. But if that's the case and you're looking at your board going, all right, I got to hit the first bonus. I got to hit seven cars or whatever it might be at your dealership. If it has a stair-step type plan and you're looking at it going, all I need is one more. And then you get it. That's a win for you, right? That makes you feel amazing. Even if you are the last person on the board that month, I mean, let's say you're even at a dealership that fires the last person on the board. Just looking at it going, hey, I had a success this month. That is huge, right? And then you have to worry about your job. But the deal is that those sales boards push consultants to do better, push consultants to attempt to acquire new tools. There are a lot of bad eggs out there, though. There's a lot of bad eggs out there that'll go, well, you know, I got to get that next counter on the board because of this huge bonus that I am going to get. I understand that. I get it. But you got to do it in ethical ways. You can't go ahead and hose the customer in one way or another simply to your benefit. It's not cool. And it will automatically show up in your surveys. Now, when we take a look at our months, 1 month, you're crushing it. Next month, landslide, right? Next month, you're trying to repair yourself, right? And then the month after that, you crush it. So we go through this 3 month cycle that almost nobody outside the business actually understands. People wonder why we become so ruthless some months, why we cut corners so hard sometimes, why we'll skip our needs assessment completely, try to move the customer right into purchasing a vehicle at hello. The reason is we're drowning. We're drowning because we personally believe that when it comes down to your customers, the customers change. I'm here to assure you of this. They don't. The customer never changes, right? The buyer will always be the buyer. You will always be the seller, right? When a customer comes on in, they're looking for something very specific, right? We have to understand this. They're sold in the car. They research the vehicle. They're sold in the car. When the customer walks through your front door and goes, hey, I'm here to look at this particular vehicle. Well, okay. Why? Start asking your why questions and start digging into that information to figure out who they are, obviously, and get your needs assessment rolling. But the customer's already sold on the car. It's getting them to invest the time in understanding who you are and getting to enjoy their time with you. People pay out the nose to be happy. And as soon as we all understand that, we will all be far more successful in what we do. If we can make the buying process enjoyable, the customer enjoys it, right? And they will go ahead and pay generously for a vehicle if it fits their needs and their lifestyle. But we can never go ahead and simply hammer the customer into the vehicle and say, well, you came in the door, therefore you're going to buy that. No, there's much more that goes into it. You know that. You're better than that. Don't just start hammering customers in the vehicles because they're going to look at you and go, I don't want a new mortgage payment, right? That happens every single time we leave the customer up to their own devices and we let them, big old air quotes here, control the whole process. So if an individual that walks through the door never changes, if the buyer is always buying, there are some rules to this. For example, the first 2 weeks of the month are usually information gathering weeks for a customer. And then the last 2 weeks of the month are usually it's time to buy because everybody feels motivated by end of the month deals. And we also get jazzed up towards the end of the month because we're looking at the sales board going, I only have 50, 70, 200, 400 cars out that's still under what I need. And so then as managers, we get a little bit more frisky on the money and we get a little bit more generous, right? So here it is, get those cars out of here. But on the sales consultant side of things, when we're on commission and we see the manager going, oh man, we're not selling a lot of cars right now, therefore we have to go ahead and they're discounting the vehicles, that means that all of a sudden my commission starts evaporating because our sales are low. The primary driver to a sales consultant not selling vehicles is something that all of us, you're going to hear this, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if a few of you just click this thing off and never return, and I will miss you if you do, is the fact that we become depressed. We get beat up, customer after customer after customer, if we continue a behavior that starts at the end of the previous month. You see, at the end of the previous month, your customers are motivated. They're in buying mode. They're out of information gathering mode. And then as they start to move forward, they then go ahead and come in at the end of the month. You sell them fairly easily. But then in the beginning of the month, you go on back to, I'm not ready to buy. But we are in the mode of the 31st or 30th or 29th of the previous month going, okay, you're ready to buy right now. And the customer's like, no, I'm really not. Right, I got three other cars I'm going to look at, and not for nothing. Welcome to America. I'm going to do my due diligence. I'm going to do my research, and I'm allowed to do it. And in my eyes, even as a trainer and as a sales consultant, you know, I took a look at the customer, and I was like, I can't really argue with that. Yeah, would I like to sell you a car right now? Absolutely. But then when the customer leaves, we end up beating ourselves up over this. We end up going ahead and going, man, I could have closed them down on this, or I could have done that. And we end up talking pretty terrible stuff about the customer and trying to find ways to pull us out of this super crappy rut that we end up in on like the 10th or the 15th of the next month, right? And it's because we are stuck in this last week of the month mentality. Now, all of a sudden, we beat ourselves up. It's like the 20th of the month. You're looking at your sales board and you're like, man, I've only have like a handful of cars out. What am I going to do? All of a sudden the customers become motivated again. And you're like, oh, I fixed myself. I corrected it. No, what happened was is that the customers are now in buying mode again and you're able to sell. So you've relegated yourself because of your ability to, I guess, be a human being and absorb the beatings that customers have given to us of just no, I'm not buying. Because of this, when the last week of the month comes around, you essentially try to patch yourself together. What ends up happening though is that you end up slowing down. And this is where it gets kind of cool. What I notice is that when the end of the month hits, when you are having a very difficult time, and again, it happens to all of us, right? You're practically riding your draw. It's the third week of the month and you're beside yourself. You got to pay a mortgage. You got to pay your rent. You got to feed your kids, so on and so forth, right? Life is stressful. I mean, heck, once I start doing my YouTube videos, look how much hair I have. I lost most of it when I was selling cars. So with this, we have to understand that when you slow down, you can learn about that person. The person doesn't see the frenetic energy that you're throwing off. They don't want to run away from you. Like, seriously, go out, do some secret shopping. Bump into people, and you'll notice that you'll bump into people with frenetic energy that just are naturally that way, but they want to be also very close talkers. These people, if this is you, I do apologize. I know a lot of people that are like this that are genuinely very good people. Just do me a solid. Back up like 8 inches, right? And the reason for that is that you're invading people's bubbles. But with these individuals, as you start to talk to them, you realize that you're kind of a good person. And I want to work with you. I want to carry on a conversation with you. But then you'll bump into other individuals where you have this negative frenetic energy coming off of them. And as you're working with them, you realize that they're really pushing price. They're really pushing this conversation to go ahead and try to get us into a vehicle right now. That consultant's hurting. And when we look at surveys from, let's say, like J.D. Power and Associates, or we look at surveys from Consumer Reports or really anywhere, and we see these sales surveys, we start to see that customers stop buying because either they feel rushed or they just simply just didn't like the other person. Well, a lot of times this can be simply fixed by us just slowing down a beat, taking a deep breath, and going ahead and starting our needs assessment over. But once we've corrected this, We have to maintain this attitude. This attitude of, I've corrected it, I've fixed it. I don't ever want to end up back on one of those months that's just clobbering me. Because when you run into those months that are clobbering you, and for those of you that have sold cars that are listening out there, you know that when you're not bringing the paychecks, it just gets harder at home. Right? The money's not coming in. You're not able to go ahead and provide. You're not able to go ahead and really pull off what you need to pull off. So a while back, I was criticized by my little mantra here of going ahead and saying, hey, my primary goal is to make sure that sales consultants stay off the dollar menu. Somebody came back with a rebuttal going, oh, that's terrible. Why would you go ahead and make your whole life about that? You know, I try to make people rich. I try to make them have great success. And without a doubt, I don't doubt that. But the deal is that the average person is trying to get by out there. And what it comes down to is that people buy from people that don't give them a hard time. People buy from people when they're enjoying things, right? I know I've mentioned Disney before, but one of the reasons that people can walk up to that front door at Disney, drop $200 practically for a whole day just for themselves for one park. And I'm not talking like throw the park hopper in there or water parks. I'm talking one park, about $200-ish. I think it's a little less, but I wouldn't doubt if next year it goes over it. The reason that people do that is because on the other side of that gate is happiness. People will pay for happiness. And if they can't pay for it in that method, they will find ways to go ahead and still buy happiness. I mean, heck, take a look at the credit card debt in this country. All of a sudden, credit card debt is just off the charts. And why is that? Well, you get the credit, and then all of a sudden you buy things that make you happy. You see people come in and you ask them dumb questions of, well, how much do you want to pay a month? They tell us $250. They leave with an $800 a month payment with a smile on their face. That's a day when you know you did really well and you connected with that individual. And you know there's a great survey that's coming after that with all these manufacturer surveys that are out now. But we can't take that energy of the last day of the month, apply it to the first day and say that we're going to have success for the next 3 weeks. And the reason that we can't do that is simply because your customer isn't motivated the same way. So back to the beginning of this little episode is that I mentioned in the beginning that the average person never changes. But monthly, when people are buying vehicles, the first 2 weeks, right, which is information gathering week, you'll have a couple people buy cars. And then the last 2 weeks are time to close those deals down. But with those first 2 weeks, stay in touch with those customers. Don't tick them off, right? Managers, when you're doing your TO, don't beat those people up. You want them to come back, right? And I had a conversation the other day with somebody that basically said, we don't give prices over the phone. And I told them, hey, congratulations. You chosen to not compete. They decided to go ahead and attempt to rip me a new one. And I went ahead and said how many customers are coming in off of those emails and phone calls. And next thing you know, they kind of got really quiet really quickly because they were losing the dealership hundreds of thousands of dollars a sale a year by not competing in these segments due to the fact that, well, the customers are just going to shop my number. Yeah, they're going to shop your number. And in the end, they're going to come in and they're going to buy from you on a different car, because your sales consultant is going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. And your customer is going to be able to trust your sales consultant. So your sales consultant will flip them to another car, right? I mean, this is car sales 101, right? But we're willing to go ahead and ignore human behavior simply because we want to what? Just put our arrogance on display? Cut it out, guys. You know, seriously, we have enough trouble as sales consultants trying to maintain a level head from month to month that, and trying to make sure that the first week of the month we're getting a paycheck that's just as powerful as the last week of the month, that we really don't need somebody in the way going, well, you know, we don't give prices online. Why? Why? I know, I'm sorry, I'm getting stuck on that topic, but it really just bugs me that we all pride ourselves in providing great customer satisfaction, but when we look at our sales consultants who are supposed to be there providing the fun, need to have the ability to decompress, need to have the ability to have a hard reset, need to have the ability at the end of the month to go, hey, first of the month is coming. Everybody prepare. You're going to have to slow down a little bit. You're going to have to do what it takes to make sure that you can put these relationships together, because people buy based on desire. They don't buy cars based on necessity. The only two reasons that somebody would need to buy a car is either A, they don't have one, or B, they have more butts than the seats in the car, which means in both those circumstances, you need a vehicle. But aside from that, if you look at the trades that are coming on in, they all run. They don't come in on tow trucks. Your customer doesn't need a car. They want a car. They have desires. And we have to tap into those. But we also need to be in a positive mindset to tap into those properly. Because if we aren't in a positive mindset, right from the get-go, it's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel negative to the customer. But let's bring this all right back around to what we were talking about in the beginning, is that if the sales consultant, doesn't have a positive mindset to begin with, we are going to start off on the wrong foot. You see, like I said before, the customer never actually really changes. Yes, there are different people, different walks of life. Everybody's going to need a different level of catering to. That's not what I'm talking about. The people that are walking in through the front door are, in fact, get this, buying cars. But because of our ebbs and flows on the emotional end of things, we have to take into account that we must check in with ourselves every so often. And if we don't, we may run into additional problems. And by checking in with ourselves, it's as easily as sitting back and going, all right, so why are my deals going south? Why is it that I just burned through three people and there's nothing there, right? If the national closing average is higher than 0%, then I should be having some luck with closing down these customers. One of the reasons that we run into this problem is because we become deflated. We become emotionally destroyed by customer after customer not going ahead and buying. And we all have this particular issue. It's not a secret, right? So it's just something that a lot of people outside of our world just don't really get, is that when we get hungry, we do, well, some pretty ridiculous things that end up ticking the customer off, but it's because we're hungry. And if things are going well and we're not quite as hungry, we can slow down. And this is just somebody that doesn't have much training in this field. This is just naturally how our animalistic instincts work, is that when we're hungry, we do anything to kick, claw, and whatever to get that paycheck. But all you need to do is actually something really simple. Go do something you enjoy. I kid you not. Just when you're having a tough month, look at your bank account and go, okay, listen, I know I don't have much in there. You know, when it comes to paying my rent, I got to take care of that. When it comes to paying my bills, I got to take care of all that stuff. Taking care of the kids, I got to do that too. But I got to get out of this headspace. Go ahead, do something that is going to put a smile on your face. And I don't mean going over there and sitting at the bar, right? That is not going to help you in any way. Now, I'm not telling anybody, hey, stop drinking or anything like that. What I am telling you is just be smart about how you improve your emotional state and try not to put yourself back in a bad headspace. Because remember, that customer, they are an emotional antenna. They are sitting there going ahead and looking for somebody to buy a car from. Always remember, they don't need a vehicle. They pulled in a car that seems to be driving, right? They may not like it. It might not be the finest thing on the planet. It might be an old K car with a red velour interior and a blue exterior. And you're looking at it going, dang, how did you make that last so long? That's pretty impressive. You know what? I'm going to offer you $500 for that thing simply because it is absolutely amazing that it has made it to 2024 out of 1983. But the deal is that with those customers coming on in, we can't always go ahead and say, hey, you know, you don't need a car, but I need to sell you on the emotional side of it. Obviously, that's not really something that we can do. The point is that people shop for enjoyment. And if that is the core of what people shop for, and the core definition of a sales consultant's job is to go ahead and heighten somebody's emotional state to the point where they no longer have the ability to say no, well, that tells me that we have the perfect combination of customer and consultant. You see, in our business, we have customers that come on in that willingly want to buy from you. No joke. It takes guts to walk through the front door of a dealership. They think they were the worst people in the world. No kidding. Hop online, take a look around on how to buy a car, and you're going to find some of the most disgusting stuff that make our lives terrible. I talked about that just a second ago. But if we can go ahead and sit that customer down, learn as much about them as we possibly can, and get ourselves in a positive headspace that lets the customer know that we are an enjoyable person to work with, they're going to want to sit there longer. Now, whether they buy or not, obviously, there's a lot that goes into that scenario, and I can't promise you that if you're in just a simply a good headspace that they will buy. But I can promise you this. If you're in a negative headspace, they ain't buying. And the reason that they're not buying, well, quite simply, is the fact that people don't want to be around negative people. Or if you're in a negative headspace and you get that one customer that comes in and they are that lay down and they look at you and go, hey, you got that vehicle that nobody else has? Heck yeah, I do. I got three of them. How much is it? Well, each one is about $30,000 over MSRP. Yeah, that sounds like about right. You know what? I'll take it. Those people are far and few between. But with those individuals, again, we got to cater to them. But that is usually what it takes to get you out of that rut. And it happens instantly. Like you pop out of it and you're like, oh, I just sold that vehicle. Plus it's addendum. Plus. I am the man. Well, you can go ahead and scream that off the top of the mountain. But what you just did is you hard reset yourself. You went ahead and brought yourself from this incredibly negative emotional headspace to a very positive headspace. And then next thing you know, next customer comes in and you're wanting to enjoy your time with them. You're wanting to have fun. You're wanting to get them to smile, to laugh, to do all the amazing things that goes into the awesome, magical experience of buying a car when it's done right. So, a little homework for you. If you're having a tough month right now, you know, go out, and I know it's only the 10th of the month, but if you're listening to this later on in the month, or if you've already realized looking at the board that you should have 10 cars out and you only have one on the board right now, or maybe even none, and you're just like, I just feel deflated. It's because you're depressed. You know, I don't know if anybody has said that to you, but it's because you're depressed. And we all get depressed. It's just something that happens. To get yourself out of that, go do something positive for yourself. If you want to go ahead and double down on it, go do something altruistic for somebody else. And you're going to find pretty quickly that your positive deed that you did for somebody else is going to energize you and propel you forward into a life of almost what feels like servitude for the person that you are selling for at the dealership. It's really weird how humans work, but at the core of it, when we strip away everything that makes us, we're emotional beings. And when customers come in, typically they don't need anything. They want a vehicle. Sell the emotional side of it, but we got to be in a positive headspace to go ahead and do it. All right. So that is it for this week. Thank you for going ahead and listening to me at Auto Nerd. Again, my name is Andrew Sardo. Please feel free, hit me up if you get a chance. Autonerd.com has been taken down. I am redirecting the site as we speak, actually, right now. So just bear with me on that. And then fairly soon, in the next few, I think, weeks here, the YouTube page will be up and running. Can't wait for that thing. In addition to that, we also have a kind of 86 the articles. Nobody was reading those things. So with that, I'm debating maybe a second podcast every week. We'll see what happens there, but I hope you got something out of this. And because when it comes down to it, one of the toughest things in this business is trying to keep on top of your pay when the month is really, really bearing down on you. And so I'll have more on this topic as we go on forward. But I think next week we're going to dive a little bit into customer experience in relation to complicated technologies. So stick around. If you haven't subscribed yet, please go ahead and hit that subscribe button, and I will talk to you all a little bit later. Have a great day. Sell, 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 and happy selling. I'll see you soon. Bye.